Welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. We are in our series, Resurrection. If you'd like to know more about our Sermon Podcast or North Valley Church, you can find us at nvcmd.org.
Well, good morning again. My name is Grant. Like I said earlier, in case you missed it, I'm one of the staff here at North Valley Church. I'm so glad that you're here with me. I'm so glad that I have the opportunity to be here this morning, giving Pastor Dan a little bit of a break in the midst of Easter and budget voting and lots of other things that are really exciting, but also, you spend a lot of time on this time of year. I'm excited to be here with you this morning. I'm excited to be joining the Resurrection series and being able to speak this morning in our new series we just started last week, Resurrection, obviously an Easter series. Before we get into that, I wanted to give you a little bit of insight into Grant's life. I actually kind of like puzzles. How many of you guys like jigsaw puzzles? You know, like the ones with all the pieces? There's like this part of me deep inside that actually like sort of likes jigsaw puzzles. But there's this piece, if you've done jigsaw puzzles, there's this piece of doing a jigsaw puzzle that always tends to bite you at the end. And I'm sure like some of you are already thinking, like in the back of your mind, you're like, yeah, I know what Grant's getting at already, right? And so like you get this cool puzzle and it's like 2,000 pieces, or maybe it's even 100 pieces, or maybe it's 5,000 pieces. I don't think it matters. But somewhere in the factory, they decide ahead of time that they're going to leave a piece out, right? And so you start the puzzle. You invest your life and your soul and your sweat and the tips of your fingers into putting this puzzle together. You get all the way down to the end, and the last eyeball of the unicorn or piece of the balloon or whatever it is missing. And so, like, you get there, and then, of course, there's like this, it's okay. It's okay, Grant. It's all right. You can imagine that that piece is here. You can imagine that that hole is filled and that you are now done. But there's always that piece of you that's like, oh, I can't finish it. Like, I was this close and I can't finish it. And so whether you live in a house full of, like, small people or animals, or maybe it is the factory, like, that one puzzle piece is always missing. And it's a complete letdown because that one puzzle piece matters, right? That one last piece is actually what makes the whole jigsaw puzzle. As a matter of fact, I would throw the rest of the puzzle away if I just had that one piece, right? Like, you'd just toss it all if you just had that one piece. And so this morning, we're talking about how it matters, And not just it, but the resurrection, obviously, right? And so, like, leading up to this, I was trying to come up with all these cool, like, snarky ways to talk about things that matter and then, like, letdowns, because for some reason, things that matter and letdowns tend to go together, right? And so I had, like, a whole slew of things, and I was like, yeah, I'm not going to use them. And then I was like, ah, I'll talk about how I love putting puzzles together, but you get to the end and you never have all the pieces. And then I was like, you know what? I've got to use the rest of my things. So I'm going to go through a couple other things that may not tie exactly to my message, but I wanted to do it anyway just because a couple of them are fun digs at people, like Chad. Love you, Chad. The guy working my slides in the back. Here we go. You ready? Big letdown. A football team that doesn't even have a name. Big letdown, right? It doesn't matter what the team does. It's not like they'll ever get to a Super Bowl anyway, but it doesn't matter what they do. They don't have a name. It doesn't matter, right? There goes their credibility right out the window, okay? How about this one? A bowl and a spoon, but no ice cream. You got the bowl and the spoon in the hand, and it's just open the freezer, nothing there. Maybe your roommates ate it all. Maybe your kids ate it all when you weren't looking. Maybe you forgot to pick it up from the grocery store. Maybe the people didn't put it in your cart when you do the fancy thing where you just drive in and they put your groceries in your car, which is amazing, by the way. I love that. But anyway, sidebar. Okay, here's the third one. I know nothing about this, but I was suggested this, and so if you disagree, yell at Pastor Dan, okay? Star Wars Phantom Menace. Yeah? Yeah? Was it a letdown? It sounded like, all right, high five. Grant has yet to watch. I was like, Dan, give me a couple letdowns. What do you got? And I was like, this is what I got. I got a football team. I got ice cream. I'm like, I think I got it. And he's like, Star Wars, Phantom Menace. Never saw it. Don't know nothing about it. And I was like, but you know what? I'm going to try. I know. I just I just like decreased by 30 notches on everybody's belt. I understand. I'm not cool. I don't do movies very well. So today we are talking about how the resurrection matters. How the resurrection matters. And crazy enough, I'm gonna compare it all the way down to how the last piece of the puzzle matters and makes it all. Because if that last piece wasn't there, the puzzle was useless. Your time in the puzzle was useless. If the ice cream wasn't there, the bowl and the spoon have no use. Soup, but who eats soup, right? Ice cream, right? And so this morning, we're going to spend some time in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, talking about how Paul is giving a real calm, collected, honest, humble letter to the church of Corinth, talking about how resurrection matters, okay? I'm being a little facetious. He's a little bit on the aggressive side, but we will talk about that. But before we get there, I want to talk and just kind of start to walk us mentally down a path of if there was no resurrection. Because I know, like, this time of year, Easter, we tend to get, like, the bubbly, happy feeling of love. You know, like, Jesus died on the cross for us. He loves us. Like, and that's kind of where, like, the Easter story stops. And I don't want to take anything away from that. That's a big piece of the story. But I don't think that's like the staple. I don't think that's like the part that drives Easter home. I think that my love for my kids is big, but the sacrifice for my kids is big. But there's a part that I can't do that only Jesus and God pulled off that makes the Easter story, aka resurrection, super important to our faith, right? Because without a resurrection, really, our faith itself becomes pretty pointless. I mean, like, who would want to serve a God who can't rescue himself from his own creation? You know, like, Jesus died on the cross at the hands of his creation. If that was the end of the story, although it was nice that he sacrificed himself for us, it's a pretty sad story. It's a pretty sad story. There would be no end. It'd kind of be like a jigsaw puzzle missing a piece. And so the resurrection should be really like what we look for as like confirmation that our God is stronger than anything, that he can conquer death. And through him conquering death, we know that we also can then have life because he is capable of conquering death. And so we're going to touch on that a little bit as we dig into this book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to be in chapter 15, verses 12 through 32, and we're going to kick it off with what I labeled as resurrection. It paved a path to our resurrection. His resurrection paved a path to our resurrection. PD gave me 20 verses to read to you this morning, and I am a slow and boring reader. So I want you guys to perk up in your seats. Just kidding, I'm not going to read them all. I wouldn't torture you or myself to read all 20 verses. But in your programs, if you grabbed one in the door, on your way through the door, not in the door, but if you grabbed one as you walked in this direction, in there, all of the verses are listed out. I highly suggest you read it to get a full picture of what Paul was getting at. I mean, Paul's like one of the most calm and humble writers I've ever read. I mean, he's just so relaxed all the time, and he starts basically, or he ends this basically with like this series of verses. Let us eat and drink, and for tomorrow we die. You know, nice and relaxed. JK. Paul was, just in case you didn't catch my joking, Paul was writing to the people of Corinth. He was writing to them about some teachings that had been off. He's writing to them in this, what appears to be, quite the rant. Almost like a Facebook post where you're so angry about what's going on that you're going to lash out and then you're going to get kind for a little bit and like give some facts and then you're going to come down with like the big old, you're a bunch of idiots at the end, right? Paul's kind of like smacking people in the face with some scripture. And honestly, I loved it. It was great. And so we're going to jump in of how Jesus' resurrection paved a path for our resurrection. We're going to jump in verse 20, which, yes, is like 8 whole verses in, but we're going to jump in with verse 20, and we're going to talk, I'm going to read that to you real quick, and then we're going to kind of talk through how Jesus' resurrection paved a path to our resurrection. In verse 20, it starts, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Kind of a wild little bit of scripture coming from our buddy Paul. I mean, he starts it off explaining, like, through Christ, you know, like, because Christ has been raised from the dead, we also can be raised from the dead. See, the sacrifice kind of mended the relationship. The sacrifice mended the relationship. The Easter sacrifice mended a relationship between us and God. We chose sin. Adam chose sin. And the consequences to sin were death. We chose to be separated from God, and when you choose to be separated from the life giver, you choose death. And so it was a pretty grim ending to a poor story, right? And the sacrifice, Jesus came along, and Jesus is like, look, I am going to take the death for you. I am going to go to the cross. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die. Allow me to be put to death for you so that your sins can be forgiven, right? He's going to take the death that was set up, that we chose for ourselves, the consequence of what we chose. He was going to take it from us, right? He was going to take it to the cross. But it didn't just end there. It didn't just end there. Because there, ending there would have been, okay, he died for us. He mended the relationship. But now what? Now what? Right? And so 3 days later, you know the Easter story, right? Jesus was resurrected from the tomb. He was resurrected from the tomb, and through that, Jesus being fully man and fully God and fully human, right? Fully man and fully God, Jesus being resurrected paved the path to us being able to be resurrected. The relationship was mended, but it didn't just stop at the mended relationship. It continued to provide us a place of eternity to be able to live with him in eternity. So death no longer was the end. The end now was life. And so I think the resurrection, Jesus' death, of course, and the resurrection was completely intentional. Like, Jesus provided the path for us to also be resurrected to a new life just as he did. Just as he did. On a little side note, and I'm going to poke PD about this a little bit because there was something I was reading through, and I want you guys to be equally as learning and studying as I am, if not maybe more. Okay, and so I'm gonna show my cards. Something I don't think pastors do very often, but I don't have the tag, so I can do it. Right? Ciao. There's this term fallen asleep that Paul used, but there's also another similar meaning, but different word that was used was death. And so I'm going to poke PD this week and be like, yo, PD, why, and if you don't catch the PD thing, that's Pastor Dan. But Pastor Dan, like, why are some places it's fallen asleep, and why are some places it's death? Because from my understanding, I don't think the words are the same words in the translation, so there's clearly two different meanings. And so I want you to spend some time this week, like, write that down, do some digging, everybody bomb Pastor Dan with emails. And let's see if he can help Grant and you guys, and help you guys help me to try to figure some of this out, because I found that as like an interesting piece to this resurrection, falling asleep versus death. Okay, so the first thing why Jesus' resurrection mattered is it paved a path to our resurrection. His resurrection, the resurrection of God in man, God in flesh, his resurrection paved a path to us too being able to be resurrected. The second piece I wanted to talk about is how it proved that he was indeed the Son of God. I don't know if you know this, but like there was a lot of naysayers in the time of Jesus walking the earth. There was a lot of people that were like, I don't think you're the real deal. And like, oh, I think that was like a staged miraculous thing you just pulled off. Or maybe, all right, I got that, but maybe I'm looking for somebody else. Like, maybe you can do miracles, but maybe the guy I'm looking for didn't quite come in like a baby in a manger. The guy I'm looking for should be like royal and fancy. And so there was a lot of people at that time that were like, yeah, not so much. I don't think Jesus is the guy. And the resurrection itself, Jesus' resurrection proved, put the staple in. Didn't answer everybody's. There's always going to continue to be naysayers, but It proved that he was indeed the Son of God. And Paul points to that in verse 22, in this section of verses, where he says, beautiful, Chad's on it. I love you, Chad. For as in Adam all die, I repeated this just so you get the context. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. See, speaking about the order of resurrection, Paul points to how through Jesus resurrection comes. Just as the prophets had claimed prior, just as the Old Testament speaks, that Jesus would come as man, would walk on earth, would be put to death, and would rise 3 days later. See, if you look at the early church, pre-Jesus' resurrection, they were a little bit sleepy. It was kind of driven by Jesus. He was kind of doing the thing. The disciples were kind of tagging along, and everybody would kind of follow Jesus around. But it doesn't seem that it's like, you know, booming like it would with God himself walking the earth. But if you look at post-resurrection, the early church exploded. The disciples had a whole new meaning. The world had a whole new feel. Anybody who had interacted with Jesus after his resurrection took on a whole new direction. The early church exploded. And so many knew of Jesus, and the resurrection of the Son of God was widely known and understood, but it wasn't until Jesus' death and his resurrection that the Godship of Jesus was undeniable. It was undeniable. That's why the church exploded. And it's through his resurrection, Jesus' resurrection, that it proved that he was indeed the Son of God. And it gives us confirmation. Because has anybody been able to locate the body of Jesus yet? Nope. Want to bet they won't? Because it ain't there. Right? It proved that he was indeed the Son of God. The last piece I pulled out of this great group of scriptures where Paul was just kind of driving it home was that Jesus' resurrection is indeed the foundation of our faith. And his resurrection was indeed the foundation of our faith. In verse 14, kind of jumping back a little bit, but you understand why I did. This is what he says. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. And then in 32, later on, he says, I fought wild beasts in Ephesus with no more than human hopes. What have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we will die. Paul using words that are pretty aggressive. Pretty aggressive. If this isn't the case, Paul says, if Jesus wasn't resurrected, then our preaching is useless. And a matter of fact, I didn't use this verse in the slides, but he went as far as to point out that the preachers, the people who had been speaking of Jesus, Paul included, if Jesus had not been resurrected, then we are then found to be false witnesses of God. That's a big deal. To be a false witness of God, that's a big deal, right? Because they were exclaiming that Jesus was the risen Son of God, that he had died and he had been resurrected so that we too could be joined with him, so that we could be resurrected and joined with him in heaven, that Paul was writing pretty aggressively to the church, a church in Corinth, saying, look, if this isn't the truth, then enjoy what you got in front of you, because that's it. That's all that's there. Enjoy your food, enjoy your drinks, because you're all going to die and it's going to be over, because there's the end. A pretty grim picture. And so the Easter message speaks to the foundation of our faith. I want to walk through something with you. This is sort of the Easter picture, start to finish, that you'll probably hear over the next couple messages, right? Because we are talking resurrection, we are talking Easter. So I am going to kind of step on across the lines in the past and future messages a little bit. But I want to point something out. See, this whole Easter message, if you want to call it, Jesus' death and resurrection, it's kind of interesting because it starts way back. The whole thing starts way back where Adam chose to sin, Adam and Eve. I feel bad pointing at Eve, but I'm just saying, she started it. Adam and Eve, they chose to sin, and sin is what sin is, separation from God. Anything we do that separates us from the will or from what God designed us to do. So separation from God. That separation from God is death. When we separate ourselves from our Creator, we inherit death. That is the consequence of being separated from God. It's super simple. But see, Jesus, the sinless Jesus, God himself in flesh, allowed himself to be put on death, a perfect sacrifice. A perfect sacrifice. The perfect lamb allowed himself to be put to death in order to cover the consequence that we deserved because of our choice to be separated from God. See, it mended the relationship and provided forgiveness. But if you stop right there, death still prevails. If you stop right there, death still prevails, because Jesus then mended the relationship but would die. And our faith would stop because our God died. But that wasn't the end. God had a better story. God had a bigger plan. Jesus, fully God and fully human, after giving himself up in order to mend the relationship between us and him, was resurrected. And being resurrected paved the path for us to be resurrected as well. It provided life after death. See, without the resurrection, the prophets were all wrong. You know, the forgiveness was offered, but the end was still grim. The problem was still there. It's a cool story, but it's a useless and futile faith. Right? It's a cool story, but if there was no resurrection, you're missing the piece of the puzzle. The end is grim. But see, through the resurrection of Jesus, something astounding happened. See, it pointed way more to it than it points to way more than just Jesus lives. Yay, Jesus lives. But it's Jesus has now rose. Our God can rise people from the dead. Death does not hold our God captive. See, our God's bigger than death. And that's the biggest enemy, right? That's where we fear the most oftentimes. That's what a lot of our society fears. And today, I don't have a slide for it. But this morning, I just felt like I needed to talk a little bit about this word perspective. And I know I use it a lot, but I think it matters huge. See, resurrection, another part of why it matters is that it gives us perspective. It gives us perspective. And what I mean by that is that although the Easter story, if it ended with Jesus' death, would have been a sad story, it wouldn't have ended well, because of Jesus' resurrection and him offering us the same life after death, it changes the way we look at life. It should change the way we look at life. So my question to you today is, does Jesus' resurrection change the way you look at life? We've experienced a lot of crazy stuff, a lot of extra crazy stuff over the past couple years. A whole lot more over a longer length of time. Humanity has put themselves in quite a bit of trouble. And as a follower of Christ, speaking for myself, I'm casting a blanket over you guys, assuming that you think the same. As a follower of Christ, a lot of times I get kind of down. I'm like, man, stuff is rough out there. Man, this COVID thing is vicious. Like, I could die. That would not be cool. I have a wife and little people. I would really miss them. You know, I've got a grandma. I wouldn't want my grandma to die. I love my grandmother, right? And so it kind of, society and all the craziness going on kind of puts us in this place of just sadness, of sadness. But the one thing I want to suggest to you is that because Jesus was resurrected, it should change our perspective. Yes, death is sad. Difficulty is sad. Stress is sad. Loss is sad. But we know that's not the end. Jesus' resurrection gave us light so we can see that we too can be resurrected. Death here is not the end. Coronavirus is not the end. All of the social injustice is not the end. See, we have a God that gives life after death. So although things may go bad here, our perspective as followers of Christ should be focused on what is to come. because the end is not a puzzle missing a piece. The end is the beautiful picture that Jesus intended each of us to see. And so today, as I wrap up and as you guys move on to your week and throughout the rest of your day and preparing yourself for the candy and the Easter adventure, oh, sorry, band, you're welcome to come up. I always forget that part, and then everybody's like, as you prepare yourself for the Easter adventure this week, I want to challenge you to do a couple things. I want you to do some really tight internal digging. I mean, like, super serious looking inside. Do you live a life with the perspective focused on the resurrection of Jesus? Do you live a life knowing that your God is resurrected from the dead? And that means you too will be resurrected as a follower of Christ. Do you live your life knowing that your God loved you so much that he went to the cross for you, and then allowed his death to happen in order for him to be resurrected and defeat death? Do you live a life looking forward to his coming and reigning, for him conquering all the rest of the evil in the world we live in? All the health problems, all the COVID mess, all the injustice, all the craziness. Jesus coming, settling it all out, and pulling us all together so we can live in community. Do you live a life with that perspective? Because that's the life we should be living. And so I want you to spend some time this week really digging into that. Really digging into the way you look at society around you and how you interact with it. Because when we don't have a perspective of Jesus' return, we often have a dark and scary place we live in. And that's not how God wants us to be. So let me pray for us as we wrap up this morning. Father, I just thank you so much. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for his death for our sins. Father, I thank you for the mended relationship. But Father, I'm so thankful for the resurrection. I'm so thankful for us to have hope even after death. I'm so thankful for just the beautiful picture, the complete puzzle that you gave us. Father, I just thank you for our time this morning. I pray that we're able to just dive in deep this week, to look at ourselves, to constantly check ourselves, the way we interact with the world around us, to look at those fears and look at those anxieties and look at those troubles and see them for what they are. Father, I just thank you for these people who are here. I pray that you bless them throughout the rest of this week as we prepare to just celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus. Father, I just thank you so much. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.